Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I think if you wanted to, you have a lost friend, a lost coworker, a lost neighbor, whoever it is, and they're kind of resistant to the things of God, and they don't believe in God. The Bible's, I don't know, and their worldview is a little bit all over the place. If you could call one person in to come spend an hour with them, a meal with them, or a day or a week with them, who would it be? Well, if you ask me that question, if I had that option, and I could pick somebody living or dead, and I could pull him out of the last 100 years, for me, it would definitely be Francis Schaeffer. And the reason I would go to Francis Schaeffer is because he had a gift that most of us don't have. I don't think most of us care to have it. And my dad had it. I've talked a lot about my dad recently just because he went to be with the Lord a couple weeks ago. It'll be 3 weeks tomorrow. And my dad had this intense interest in everybody he met. And so he would ask you a bunch of questions. He was always deeply interested in you. He would always make you feel like the only person in the room. And he would ask, you might be a bagger at a grocery store, and my dad will have 20 significant questions for you, and he will actually be interested in your answers. He will listen to what you say. He will process what you say. And then that will determine how he kind of comes back in an effort for him to help you in your life. And Francis Schaeffer had that gift. He was the person that could listen. He asked great questions. That's why LaBrie came about. And you go hang out with this guy, and he's going to ask you all kinds of questions. And then in the last 5 minutes of your conversation, he knows what your worldview is, and he knows how to talk to you to lead you to at least consider the things of God and the truth of the Scripture. So today, we're going to kind of come at a conversation about Francis Schaeffer from that direction. We actually called the show today Francis Schaeffer Meets Your Lost Friend, because there's a lot of lessons we can learn from the way Francis Schaeffer operated that I think today, especially given how divided our nation is, how nasty it is, how there's a massive lack of civility, very few people are winsome. Francis Schaeffer kind of had all of that. Jonathan Goforth is a development officer, which means he... What did you say when you first walked in here today? That's pretty funny.
I arrest people who don't give money.
Right. He arrests people who don't give money here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. It is, of course, Theology Thursday, which we do every week with our friends at Southeastern. SEBTS.edu is the website. Do a little backslash and then radio at the end of that address, and you'll land on a page where you can see all the different things that you can access here at Southeastern online. Yes, some of them cost you money, but many of them do not. And there's all kinds of resources there. So we continue our relationship. But Jonathan, development officer, also working on his MA in Christian studies here at Southeastern. How'd you end up here? And then we'll talk about your fascination and your love for Francis Schaeffer. And then we'll start unpacking all the different lessons I think we can learn from him. But how did you end up here, Jonathan?
Absolutely. Graduated from college and went away to California for a couple years.
Where'd you go to school?
North Greenville University.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, you're one of those guys.
Yes.
Okay, all right, cool.
Yes.
Beautiful area.
Yeah, got married and then spent a couple of years in California, and then my wife and I came back. We had a lot of friends who were attending Southeastern, and we wanted to go to school with them, so that's how we ended up here.
Where did you go in California, and why?
My family is very clingy, and so I thought it would be good for my wife and I to leave and cleave, and we actually went to a sister Southern Baptist seminary called Gateway.
Gateway.
Yes, sir, in San Francisco.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. So what was that like?
It was quite the experience.
So you, your wife, and however many people are at Gateway, and so there's your Christian community in San Francisco. I mean, that would be the assumption. We're actually live on in San Francisco right now. Did you know that?
I did not, but that's fantastic.
We're live on in San Francisco, and we're live in Asheville, North Carolina. So there, the radio show followed you.
Yeah, San Francisco was a unique experience. Gateway was a unique experience. It's one thing when you're dealing with students here and you're talking about what we call intervarsity arguments of infralapsarianism versus supra. Out there, you're running into people who they just want to know, is the Bible true at all?
Yeah.
And so it was a great experience to interact with them.
And then how did Francis Schaeffer get to be, because the communications office here, which I've been dealing with for years for Theology Thursday, said, okay, you need to talk to Jonathan Goforth and you need to talk to him about Francis Schaeffer. So why is Francis Schaeffer such a big influence in your life?
He got on my radar when I was out at the seminary in California. There was a guy who worked in my office who had read him and who had been completely changed by his readings of him. And he started to introduce me to Schaefer, and it was Schaefer's how he stepped back and saw that the scripture spoke to every area of life. And not only that, but how the Christian worldview stands the test of time. And that's what drew me to Schaefer.
How did your friend sell you on Schaefer? Do you remember that? Like, he tell you, hey, Jonathan, you got to check this guy out because...
Well, he said a couple things that I thought were wise, and I was like, okay, I can give him a shot. And when he buys you a book and then says, let's read it together, that helps.
Right.
So.
Now your Christian manhood's on the line at that point.
Absolutely, and the challenge to keep up with him. So,
do you think it was your interest in Schaefer, and we'll get more into that, but because of how you had grown up or the fact that you were in San Francisco? Because San Francisco is a place where Francis Schaefer would thrive, obviously.
Mm-hmm. I think it was with Schaefer. It was I went to a Christian college and was reading deeply in Christian works. I was often in theology and keeping up with the academy on the different views of Scripture. But it was Schaefer that just breathed life into your study, that made the Scripture and reality match together. It was his ability to see that Christians have a voice in the arts, Christians have a voice in the sciences, and it was that approach that just drew me to him, to see that the Christian worldview speaks to all these areas of life and not just in the church. And I had not been taught that growing up.
Yeah, I don't think any of us have been, really. And so would you call him an apologist? Would you call him an evangelist? How do we classify somebody like Francis Schaefer?
Both. I think he was the whole package. He was a theologian. He was a writer. He was he had pastoral qualities in the way he ran the Libri. He was all of the above, certainly.
And so what was the first book that you read?
The trilogy.
And so did it take long? Were you like 10 pages in and you're like, okay, this is different?
Yeah, it didn't take long at all. It was just a few pages in, and the way he talked about the upper story and the lower story and the divide that the modern man has was just so clear. And I thought, why did I not read this in my undergrad?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, because Francis Schaefer really should be required reading for any Christian that says they care about the culture around them and that they care about reaching the lost and they care about engaging their neighbor. I think especially, and I mentioned this at the opening of the show, given how divided the nation is, how we have a total lack of civility, we have very few people that have a winsome approach to engaging the lost. Francis Schaefer had it all. He had all of that stuff. Plus, he's unbelievably smart and a great theologian. But he brings that down out of the ivory tower, down to the regular street, and he can talk to the guy on the street that doesn't have a clue about the Bible or thinks the Bible's a bunch of rubbish. Francis Schaefer could have a great conversation with him, and was very effective for the kingdom. We're going to unpack that. How do we do that? How do we kind of follow in Francis Schaefer's footsteps? We'll talk about that today as we go through the show with Jonathan Goforth. It is Theology Thursday. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back after this. What will make a man so bold? Make a woman lay her own life down. Only one thing, Jesus Christ. Welcome back. It's the Steve Noble Show, talking to Jonathan Goforth, who's on staff out here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, working in the development office, which is, they basically go around and arrest people if they're not giving to the seminary and the college. But he's also working on his MA in Christian Studies and became a fan of, a student of, I would dare say a disciple of, I think we all really, disciple of Christ first and foremost, obviously. But if you want to be discipled by somebody that can help you engage the modern world with a rock-solid biblical worldview, all the truth you could ever need, but all the grace that you're going to need in order to be winsome and civil and attractive, that was Francis Schaefer. And we're going to kind of continue to talk about his life and his ministry. But really, our question today in talking to Jonathan is, what can we pull from Francis Schaefer to apply to our lives today? Because I tell you what, the America could really use a dose of Francis Schaefer. Jonathan, we were just talking off the air. And if you want to join us on Facebook, because we're the whole hour we're live on Facebook. So if you want to join us there, just go to Facebook. Odds are pretty good you're scrolling through your Facebook feed right now. Anyway, so in the search box, just put Steve Noble Show, N-O-B-L-E, and come on over, like the page, and then join us on Facebook Live. But I was saying, because you mentioned Ben Shapiro, you had checked out my website and saw that I interviewed Ben Shapiro recently. Francis Schaefer was as smart as Ben Shapiro. And was as learned as Ben Shapiro and understood the things of the times in his day like Ben Shapiro. But he had this unbelievable love for Christ and this unbelievable love for people and a really strong theology, obviously. And boy, could you imagine if Francis Schaefer on the radio today?
It would be amazing.
It would be amazing. It definitely wouldn't be the Steve Noble Show. It'd be Francis Schaefer. And people would be shocked by that. So as you began to learn from him, What did you start to internalize? You're at a seminary. You're trying to really learn the things of God and develop a deep and wise theology. And now you're encountering Francis Schaeffer. What impact did that have on you?
What I liked about Schaeffer is when he came to engaging people, he saw all people as being made in the image of God. He wrote a book called No Little People. And the basis of that is this idea that there is no one that's insignificant that God has made and created, and all are worthy to go and engage and give the gospel, the good news of Christ to. And so with that work, Schaeffer would go about and meet people, and he would say that if he had an hour with somebody, he would spend 55 minutes listening and asking them questions, and then the last 5 minutes telling them the truth. And he calls that taking off the roof, essentially listening to somebody and hearing them tell their story, for everyone has a story, and essentially pointing holes in their worldview with his questions as they're talking about life, the meaning of life, and different things like that. Schaeffer would sit back and listen and patiently engage, which is often much more difficult than just running up and saying, hey, here's the ABCs of Christianity. Right. You need to listen and believe.
Well, I think the challenge with that is starting off with your willingness to listen. The willingness to listen and the desire to listen.
Which is way more difficult.
It's way more difficult because you can sit there and listen to all kinds of crazy stuff. Maybe it's anti-Christian on purpose. Maybe they're aggressively anti-Christian. Maybe their worldview is just such a mixed bag. And you just want to say, do you realize how self-contradicting you are? And that's such a stupid argument. All that stuff goes on. And so I'm thinking about what I want to say and I'm not listening.
Right.
But you, like you said, and Francis, I would go back to C.S. Lewis, who said you've never met a mere mortal, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody you meet, you never meet a mere mortal. Everybody you meet, I think it's either an everlasting splendor or an eternal horror. Mm-hmm. They're going to live forever in either heaven or hell. So every person has that value, and you need to consider it that way. And Francis Schaeffer certainly did.
And he genuinely cared about them. And the great thing about Schaeffer, though, is that he had this idea of honest answers to honest questions. And it was this idea that Christianity speaks to all areas of life because God has created everything, and it's good, and Christianity has a voice in it. And what was sweet about that is Schaeffer would not be nervous to talk about talk to any person and involved in any type of vocation because he knew Christianity gave truth to that vocation, truth to that person's life. And so what I've learned and grown from that is I'm a student pastor right now, and one of the things I love to do with my students every time we meet, take the first 10 minutes and we'll throw on a commercial or we'll go through a song that's popular and we'll sit down and we will ask questions of it and talk about it. Because the Christian worldview speaks to that, and Schaeffer was just so great at sitting down and talking to people wherever they were in life to engage them.
Because typically we have silos or buckets,
right?
And I've got Christianity over here, and this is, you know, about me sharing the gospel and me following the rules and doing what God tells me to do. And then I've got work, and I've got art, and I've got entertainment, and I've got finances, and I've got business and international relations and this, that, and the other thing. And that's where when you have a worldview, kind of like Francis Schaeffer and a desire, because he knew that everything finds its origin in one way or another in God's truth,
mm-hmm.
all of it.
Yep.
So everything comes out of the same bucket. It comes off the same tree. And so you have to listen in order to then be able to trace that back, because people are sitting there telling you things that you know are scriptural. Mm-hmm. That came from God, but they don't know it.
Right, and he would not always try to find a proof text like, well, you need to go to 1 Timothy and see where you're wrong. He would know the story of Scripture so well that he would take the person's story that he's talking to and show that the flaws and the things that they're longing for can be found in the grand narrative of Scripture, which would be so eye-opening to people. And Schaeffer called it taking off the roof.
Right.
And he would give this illustration that everybody has a roof on their house, which it would be their worldview. And often they use it to protect them from reality. And what he would do is sit down and in his time with them of questioning and getting to know them, slowly pull back that roof as he would ask piercing questions showing the inconsistency and the insufficiency of that worldview.
Yeah, because – and then ultimately, like I was trained on the pro-life issue by a group called Justice for All. They put up these massive display abortion pictures and Holocaust pictures. So this is on – When I first was trained by JFA, I spent 4 hours on campus at NC State, and I spent 4 hours on campus at Chapel Hill. Not exactly conservative Christian bastion where you're going to go hang
really?
Out. Right. I know. It's a shocker. But the ability to listen, ask piercing questions, where you're dismantling 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes if you had somebody that was really sharp. Mm-hmm. But it didn't take long where it was actually kind of easy. And I don't want to say that in a kind of superior, I'm beating you way.
Right.
But it's because most people's worldviews are so flimsy. Mm-hmm. They really are a mile wide and an inch deep. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians are too. And you discover let me ask you about this. Well, let me ask you about that. And you extrapolate and you take some of their positions out to their logical conclusions. And within 4 or 5 or 7 minutes, you've got a person there that's stunned and shocked that all of a sudden they know their position just fell apart.
Right.
And then what do you do with them? Now, in the modern evangelical world, we just put a notch on our belt and I kicked that guy's butt, stupid liberal.
Right.
And I won the debate. Move on. Mm-hmm. Touchdown for Jesus Christ.
Another jewel in the crown.
Right. Right. Yeah, sure. But Francis Schaeffer would look at that same person and go, now let me help you.
Right.
Because I know you're lost.
He had a beautiful way of balancing love and truth, and he would engage. And it's messy to listen to people and to be patient and to talk to them. But is that not what our Lord did when he incarnated and took on flesh and dwelt among us?
Yeah.
He cared about us and he listened to us. And I find that piece about Schaeffer so just rewarding. But the problem is, in our culture, we want fast results.
Oh, yeah.
And so
the drive-through evangelism worldview thing.
Exactly. I remember doing trips in youth group and going to the beach, and it's like, let's give out as many water bottles and try to share the gospel with as many people as possible. So you may give 30 water bottles away in an hour.
Right.
But you don't have an opportunity to sit down with somebody and genuinely get to know them.
Yeah, and that's... Is there a time and a place for that kind of drive-through evangelism? Yes. On an airplane, happenstance encounter at a coffee shop. But most of it should be relational.
Exactly.
And relational evangelism takes time. None of us feel like we have time, and it's messy. And often we're afraid that we're going to get questions that we can't answer. Here's a great quote from Francis Schaeffer, the church at the end of the 20th century. This is so good. And if you're a conservative, that's why I'm reading this one. Like I am. I'm a conservative. One of the greatest injustices we do to our young people is to ask them to be conservative. Now, there's more to it, but I just want that to sink in. And just what's your reaction to that? Oh, is he compromising on the truth of God's word? Is he what is he, pro-choice? What does that mean? So what's going on there? One of the greatest injustices we do to the young people is to ask them to be conservative. Christianity is not conservative, but revolutionary. So that's a totally different thought. That's a totally different. He takes it out of the political realm, although he obviously spoke into and operated in that because the Bible speaks to everything. But it's like, hey, you need to be a conservative. No, you need to be revolutionary. And one way you can be revolutionary is not just to know the truth of God's word, but to be able to deliver it with grace. You guys are sick of me talking about this because it tends to come up almost every day on the show. Jonathan Goforth is here with me today on Theology Thursday from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and it was Tim Keller. I just had this conversation earlier with a literary agent. We were talking about a book idea that I have called Confessions of a Recovering Culture Warrior. And so I was telling him about the Tim Keller sermon, which I think Keller in a lot of ways is another one of those people that I would say reminds me of Schaeffer.
I would agree.
But he said, if you're all truth and no grace, you're a bully. So that's the culture war. I know what the Bible says. I'm going to pound the pulpit and tell you. I know what the truth is. If you're all truth and no grace, you're a bully. But if you're all grace and no truth, you're a coward.
Right.
Compromise on scripture. Jesus never said anything about homosexuality, yada, yada, yada. John chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus full of both grace and truth.
Right.
And complete knowledge, obviously. And so to be able to deliver that in that way, when you watch Francis Schaeffer, you listen to Francis Schaeffer, that kind of love of God and love of neighbor was at the center of everything, and it just kind of oozed out of him.
Right, and the one thing I wanted to say too, and it's not manipulative, but people in our culture, they love to talk about themselves. And so to genuinely...
No, really?
I know. They funnel... Every story somehow gets funneled back to themselves.
You're sitting across the table from a guy who's got a sign off his right shoulder that says Steve Noble. With my picture on it.
Yeah, it's a good-looking picture.
Oh, yeah. Nice recovery.
Yeah.
But I totally know what you mean. Yeah, and that's why if you listen, people love to talk about themselves.
Right.
And they'll read value into that.
Right. And they'll see that you're caring and you genuinely are and that you're concerned about them. And then they'll just keep talking. And the more they keep talking, the more you have built up information to go back and ask them, well, why do you believe that?
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
Yeah, and here's another one, art and the Bible. Like, who writes a book about art and the Bible?
And that it's sold.
And that it's sold, right? What a great point. Christianity is not just involved with salvation, but with the total man and the total world. The Christian message begins with the existence of God forever and then with creation. It does not begin with salvation. We must be thankful for salvation, but the Christian message is more than that. Man has a value because he is made in the image of God. And so whether it was art or entertainment or whatever, Francis Schaeffer would walk in there because he knew. Like, I play some secular bump music on this show. Mm-hmm. And I love Rush, for example. Mm-hmm. I love The Police.
Yeah.
I love U2. Now, I can make a pretty good argument that I think Bono is a believer, but Sting definitely is not, based on his own words and his own admissions. But I listen to very complicated music that's really genius in its form. I know what the ultimate source of that is. Rush doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
They're not playing Tom Sawyer to the glory of God.
Right.
But I hear the complication and the skill level in that music, and I'm like, I know where that comes from.
Yep.
And so I give God credit, even though they don't. Mm-hmm. And I think Francis Schaeffer operated that way. He saw, like you said, he had this complete worldview, and he knew that the Bible spoke into everything.
Yeah, and it started at the very beginning that God created all things and they were good. I heard Dr. Ashford one time talk that Satan can never declare something bad that God has declared good. And that should be a point that we just cling to.
Yeah.
So in all areas of life, Christians should go and engage and do it to the glory of God. And Schaeffer saw that, and that's why he could engage in these various subjects. And to me, that's so liberating.
Yeah.
It's liberating if I want to watch the Food Network and try to be a good cook for the glory of God. Like, it's not like Christianity can't speak to that.
Right, yeah. So you can take that into every realm. And that's where I often encourage parents. When your kid says they want to go to culinary school, they want to teach clarinet to fourth graders, and you're thinking that's not going to pay very well, that you better be very careful. That I'm like, what besides outright sinful organizations, like pornography, okay, hey, I want to be a porn king. Sorry, son.
Right.
Sorry, daughter. No. I want to go work in the gaming industry. Now, my son happens to work in the gaming industry. Mm-hmm. We're like, you know what? Odds are there's a lot of Christians that don't go anywhere near that.
Right.
So what, we abandon that to the devil? No.
That is what I love about Southeastern, is that we're equipping students to go, and if they have the gifting in the gaming area, they need to be there because our local pastor is not going to be there. But if the pastor is equipping them and teaching them the things of the word, and then they go into that sphere, they're the missionary that none of us could ever be in that sphere. And that's what Schaeffer would have done. He would have went in there and he would have engaged those
Absolutely.
People.
What? Talk about LaBrie.
Yeah, LaBrie was a...
And I'm just going to play stupid because I not stupid, uninformed. Because LaBrie is something, I said this to you off the air. Man, first of all, I'd love to have a LaBrie in America. Because I just want to run away from all this stuff and just go sit down and have a relationship and conversation. But LaBrie is something that there's so many things there that we should learn from. But talk about that part of Schaeffer's life, both he and his wife.
Yeah, Schaeffer and his wife, they set up a ministry called the LaBrie, which was just a house, almost a compound really, located in Switzerland, where folks would go and they would have a time of working. They would garden and have a farm, but then they would also have a time of reading, and they would just sit and have discussions. They would eat meals together, and Schaeffer's wife was such a hostess and would cook these fantastic meals, and they would sit for hours at the table asking questions. It was a place for believers. It was a place for unbelievers. It was a place for those who had grown up in the church but were starting to doubt, and they would come to that institution, and they would just walk with Schaeffer, talk with Schaeffer, and it was really a place of learning and seeking the truth, and that's where the birth of the honest answers, the honest questions came from.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, I just found another one that just has something to do with what he's talking about. A compassionate, open home is part of Christian responsibility and should be practiced up to the level of capacity.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, what does that mean? That means that we should all be opening our homes to anybody, to have these types of, to love on them, to listen. And how often should I do that? As often as you possibly can. And how many people can you fit in there? I don't care if it's comfortable. Just get as many people as you can. But that's like a compassionate, open home. But usually, hey, you know this, Jonathan. I definitely know it as a 52-year-old recovering culture warrior guy. Most of the time, I don't want to hang out with people that don't believe what I believe.
Right.
That just ticks me off. I get frustrated. I get mad. I'm looking down my nose. But the people that I walk away from is the people that Francis Schaeffer would walk up to, and the same people that Jesus would have lunch with.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't see it as life draining, but life giving. And that was just the grace of the Lord. And I think it's so easy for us to just want to go home and veg out and watch Netflix.
Oh, man.
And not have people over, not engage. And Scripture calls us all to aspire to be an elder. And one of the qualifications of an elder is to be hospitable. to have people in your home, to engage them and love them. And Schaefer walked that out well. And it just goes to that whole idea of he saw everyone made in the image of God and that they needed to be engaged and loved and given the truth.
Yeah.
And so what? How have you seen Francis Schaefer kind of show up in your own walk with the Lord now? You're a young guy. You're married. Do you guys have children yet?
We have two.
You have two. So you're a father. You're dealing with a youth group situation. You're here at the seminary. So how does Schaefer kind of show up in your life?
Yeah, so in addition to working at Southeastern, I'm also a student pastor, and I see it with engaging students. Often in the church culture, sometimes the student pastor position can be kind of seen as the stepping stone. Or like,
well, you're the court jester, too.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got to be the goofball, got to order the right
pizza.
Go
stick something up your nose and get something slimy and entertain my kids. And
yeah, you got to put your top minute to win at games on your resume, stuff like that.
On a barf. Okay, keep going.
But anyway, one of the things is when I engage my students, if in that moment they want to talk about this girl who just did not reciprocate any type of response when they talked to them or like tried to reach out to them on social media, which they shouldn't, they should do face to face. But anyway, when they would be talking about these issues, it's coming into their world and seeing it as a significant moment and caring about them and talking about them. And to me, I'm like, I have all these other stuff going on. And here he is talking about this girl that didn't look at him in the hallway.
Yeah.
But it's seeing that this is significant to him and listening and caring and then pointing him to the truth of, man, God knows every hair on your head. Isn't that much sweeter than this girl looking at you and caring about you in that moment? And so that's where I see Schaefer impacting my world, is sitting down with my students and engaging them. And they're often asking the very questions that our adults in the congregation were asking when they were younger, because it's such a formative time. And so I see it as a huge task and responsibility.
And what about Francis Schaefer's grasp of all kinds of different disciplines? He was a very learned guy. He was very smart.
Right.
He was very learned. He spent a lot of time pulling in information. What about that? Because I think you mentioned Netflix and stuff. You know, I think we're boring ourselves to death.
Right.
And we've de-intellectualized the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a powerful intellectual with a huge heart. But I think that's a big part of it, is we're just not ready.
Right. Yeah, and we're not, you know, they say we're evolving, but if you read and look at what we're writing, it's not better than what it was 200 years ago. We are definitely slipping. And so there's an encouragement to our students to be reading and to engage and to not fear walking into spheres that have often been seen as, well, that's, you know, the church doesn't get involved in art. No, absolutely we can. And we see art through our music now, or even the shows that are being produced. So I encourage my students, let's watch this Netflix show and see what's lacking, where the Christian worldview comes in and shows it to be sufficient.
Yeah, because truth is going to show up all over the place.
Absolutely.
You can watch literally just about anything. Which is why I'm a big movie guy, because I watch movies and I engage with a Christian worldview, and I see where truth is showing up, which to me is sometimes funny because I know that in most cases the filmmaker isn't thinking that way. But I know where it comes from, and everything else all of a sudden starts to make sense. It's very coherent. We'll be right back. Do you get frustrated when you're engaging lost people around you, maybe people that go to church but don't have a real strong biblical worldview, your average liberal, your average pro-life or pro-choice person, maybe somebody that doesn't have a problem with a gender transition and all that stuff, or somebody that doesn't give a rip about, you know, hey, if you're born gay, no big deal. I'm not going to make any proclamations about that. And so you get really frustrated with people that don't have a biblical worldview. And trust me, I still do. I still struggle with this. God in his grace has made it a lot easier and a lot better for me over the last probably 10 years, because he broke my heart for people, and I started to see people, especially people that don't believe what we believe, if you're a biblical Christian, Christ follower. He started to break my heart for people, and I stopped seeing them as my opposition and started seeing them as people made in the image of God who have inestimable worth, who Jesus died for, as much for them as he did for me. I'm no better than them. I'm just saved. And so all of a sudden your heart gets broken for the lost and you care about them. And that was what really started to change for me. But Francis Schaefer had this unbelievable ability, incredibly brilliant guy, who could take the gospel, take the biblical worldview into pretty much every nook and cranny of life, and then have a conversation. And then he would listen to people.
And Jonathan Goforth is here with me today. He's a development officer out here at Southeastern, working on his master's degree in Christian studies, and talking about if Schaefer had an hour with you or an hour with anybody, he'd spend 55 minutes listening and 5 minutes talking, the last 5 minutes. And then he would understand where you're coming from, where your worldview is, and then he could, because he was learned and wise, he could easily then apply the biblical truth to it and help you out of your mess and your darkness. But it's an incredible example. That do you find that you have many, like you're dealing with youth group people, Jonathan, how often do you meet people that have never heard of Francis Schaefer?
Quite often. And even in Christian college, there was all my buddies who were Christian studies majors. We had no idea who Francis Schaefer was. And the fascinating thing about him is you look at many of our leaders in today's evangelical world, even in the Southern Baptist community, they were influenced mightily by Francis Schaefer. He's just often not at the forefront of their examples and talks, but he was someone they read and influenced them. And I will say, on a personal level, as I was thinking about your question earlier about how does Schaefer impact me, I have a brother who's an atheist and homosexual, and me and him every year, he goes with us on our family beach trip. And we will walk the beach and spend hours talking. And it is so sweet to just sit back and listen to him and engage him. And when he talks about the hopelessness he has and how lonely he is, there's just an opportunity for me to come in and give the hope of the gospel. But it just happens so naturally because I've spent an hour listening and engaging him.
And a friend of mine was in town a week ago. We did an annual worship event. He's a pastor, author. The book is called Messy Grace.
Yeah.
And Caleb called him back. And he was talking about that, and he was reminding people, you need, because both his mom and his dad divorced when he was two. His mom then spent the next 22 years with her lesbian partner. His dad eventually came out of the closet as a gay man. And he said, you have to stop looking at people as projects and start looking at them as people.
Mm-hmm.
So your goal with your brother is not, you can't be an atheist and you can't be a homosexual. Because that's like a project,
right?
As opposed to, this is a person who, like you just said, is finding all these roads that he's traveling is leading him to nothing and nowhere. And then sooner or later, people will break based on that. Mm-hmm. And there's that emptiness is there. And so it's that kind of gospel love and concern for people that drives that.
Right. And they're genuinely hurting. And what's fun is that I can talk to him, and he's big into fashion in New York City. I don't know anything about fashion, but the ideas that he talks about that are hidden behind the new fashion movements in New York City are pointing to some of the struggles that modern man has. And what Francis Schaefer was good about, and what we talked about earlier, is he believed that some folks could have the truth, even as Romans says that everyone has a knowledge of God through creation, but that they don't have the total truth. And it's Christianity that comes along and provides the full picture of the truth that they're lacking. And when that combines and they see that reality matches with Christianity, it's a game changer.
Well, you're talking about, even though you don't understand anything about the fashion world in New York, to listen and be interested.
Right.
And then you're filtering all that through a biblical worldview. So God's truth is then coming up against that, and you can kind of see the holes or at least the pathology behind it. Why do people go down these various roads? Speaking of that, art in the Bible, here's another quote. I am afraid that as evangelicals, we think that a work of art only has value if we reduce it to a Bible tract.
Mm.
You go, okay, so I got to be able to put that into, I can put it into a Bible tract, leave it in the bathroom at the subway station in New York, because that's where all the fashionista people are.
Right.
And then, wow, there you go. I used art for the glory of God.
Right. And missing that it's actually the beauty of something that can lead us to worship God. Just like you were talking about music earlier, you were referencing guys that are a bit out of older than me. Maybe like Taylor Swift or somebody I could more
Maroon
relate
5.
With.
I mean, I can go listen to
Maroon 5.
And then they're going to go, okay, that was explicit lyrics. It's hard. But even in, listen, on this point, here's something I love to talk about. You go look at the average lyrics in general,
mm-hmm.
And especially Adele.
Mm-hmm.
So you listen to Adele, arguably one of the greatest singers on the planet right now. And song after song, verse after verse, chorus after chorus, there's all this brokenness about relationships.
Yeah.
All these broken relationships, and you can't find it here and you can't find it there. And I'm like, that is such fertile ground for these types of conversations to go, you know what? I love listening to Adele because of her talent, but it's heartbreaking to listen to the content.
Right.
And you say, okay, so now let's dive into that.
Yeah, and instead of approaching her and saying, Adele, you're lonely and you need Christ, you can now take her song lyrics and bring it back to her and say, you were writing about this and talking about this. You're taking her words because
you
listened and
stuff.
Cared and presenting it to her. And that just has a far different effect than just coming in and busting down the door and saying what they need.
And then sometimes in the evangelical world, we go, Adele, doesn't she drink a lot and she swears and she's not a Christian, right? Yeah. Okay, Cindy, my eighth grader. I don't have an eighth grader named Cindy, but I'm just making it up.
Right.
But you have Adele on your iPod? You can't listen to that.
Right.
And then we just completely divorce ourselves from where the world is. We won't go in there. We won't listen. We won't talk. And then because of that, we have no relationship. We have no relationship. We have no influence.
Yeah, and Schaefer would see that as a complete ramp to just enter into that person's world and talk about the gospel, knowing that Christianity speaks to all spheres of life.
So tell us a little bit. We've got about 4 minutes left. Some books that you would recommend, Francis Schaefer books. What are they and why? Well, if people are going to dive into this and start going down this road.
I tried to cheat earlier. You gave me three, and I just said the trilogy right off the bat to count as one. But Schaefer did write You Can Buy It All at One is a trilogy. But it's essentially the top ones I would say is The God Who Is There. He is there, and he is not silent. And then he wrote a classic called How Then Shall We Live. All of those would give you kind of Schaefer's apologetic approach and really talk about the hurt and the longing of the modern man, split between a lower story of cold reality and facts that provide no life and meaning and purpose versus those who live in an upper story that are only into mysticism and spirituality and have no grounding in reality and life, and they want to escape this world.
Yeah, they divorce themselves from the world. And right. So, and we can do that as Christians.
Right.
As Christians. We're kind of in it but not of it. And so, you know, maybe I should be a Mennonite. Maybe I should move to Pennsylvania and just completely divorce myself from the world. Of course, you can't make that case as a Christ follower at all. But in the last couple minutes, Jonathan, I mean, just the appeal. Why should somebody listening to you right now, why should they start to read, pick up The God Who Is There, or How Then Should We Live? Why should they start to study the life of Francis Schaefer?
You should study the life of Francis Schaefer because he was influential in every sphere he walked in. Whether he was in the church, he had such a robust knowledge of Scripture that he would guide people along and help them be edified and mature in the faith. But then he could also encounter anyone on the street, from someone who's picking up garbage to someone who's the CEO of a bank, and engage them and get to know them and show you the truths of Christianity and how only Christianity can be the roof that withstands the life and the storms and the reality we face in this world. And honestly, as we're talking about the modern man and the difficulties we face, I think Schaefer has the best approach of being able to see the tension and the cold reality that modern man lives in, not knowing where to be in the lower story or the upper story. And Christianity beautifully weds both of them together in the person of Christ.
And then what about just valuing people?
Yeah, that there's no little people. That whole James not showing partiality, but Schaefer would just as easily go and talk to someone who has a lesser position in society and spend an hour with them than he would with someone in a high position. I was reading a story the other day that he was a speaker at an event, and it was raining, and he got in late, and he ran into the janitor, and the janitor said, well, you can sleep in my room. He never knew who Schaefer was. And Schaefer and this guy slept in this little room, and Schaefer slept on the floor. And the folks walked in and said, do you not know who that was? That was Francis Schaefer, our speaker. And the guy said, I had no idea. He never told me. Francis Schaefer just took the night to talk to this guy for a couple hours and then slept on the floor in the same room with him. And that's the kind of guy Schaefer was.
Yeah, and when you look at that, if you can handle most conversations and most subject matter intelligently, so you can kind of hold your water there, but you're a good listener,
And be willing to learn even if you don't know the subject,
and be willing to learn if you don't know the subject, and be a good listener, and treat people with value and care about what they say, even if line after line after line and minute after minute after minute they're spewing forth lies and ridiculousness, you have to look past that, that this person, Jesus is on the cross, and he knew this person. He knew this person before the foundation of the world. And Jesus is looking at you, and he's looking at him, and he's looking at you, and he's looking at him and going, I died for him. Won't you at least listen to him? And that's something that I think Francis Schaefer was a great example of. Jonathan Goforth, great conversation. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Steve.
You're very welcome. We'll be back tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about Well, only God knows that at this point. So you tune in tomorrow, and I'll figure it out, and God will reveal it to me, and I'll figure it out, then I'll share it with you. And sometimes that's just the way it goes. Hey, Steve, what are you going to do on the show tomorrow? I'm like, I have no idea. But guess what? God will always show up, so I can guarantee you. For his part, it'll be great. For my part, I can't guarantee anything. But this is Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And as my father always said, ever forward.